Describe to Matt what he should bring forth to you. Describe what the month of March is going to be. Kasi 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 la da da. Leg leg kasi mana da da. Kasi kasi la la.
For my walk to it, dimensions are only. In Jesus Christ, channels of my spirit open up.
Let the book of Matt
open up.
Matt of Matt, open up, open up.
Let the
book of Matt open up. Let the book of Matt open up. Let the book of Matt open up.
We will not stop worshiping as you come, Lord.
Jesus.
We will not stop worshiping. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Blessed be your holy name. Give Jesus a big praise. Please, let's take our seat. Hallelujah. I want to welcome every one of us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord will empower us so much this morning, and He will increase us all the way. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we've been discussing on a teaching we titled Obedience, the Principle of Faith and Obedience. The Principle of Faith. I think this should be the third or the second series. The Principle of Obedience and Faith. And the Lord has enabled us to see, He has opened our understanding to see why we must be deliberate about obedience. Don't worry. We must be intentionally ready at all times to obey God. One of the challenges we have among the 21st century believers is most believers are not deliberate about obeying God. You know, there's something you can be casual about something that if it happens, it happens. If it comes by accident, it comes. If it doesn't, if I'm able to do it, if I can't do it, if I have the opportunity, as you know, people use language, if God will help me, you know, we put all the responsibility on God. Even obeying God, we put it on God. The responsibility of obeying God, we say, if God wants me to obey Him, I will obey Him. If God wants me not to commit fornication, I will not commit it. You know, see, so what we should do, we put our part on God and expect God. So if something happens, we say it's God. For instance, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Oh, I like the sound this morning. I appreciate God for provision. Good sound is good. Hallelujah. You know, if it were before, I would have been giving signals that help me and all that. Hallelujah. Many of you may not know that when a preacher hears his own voice very well, it inspires him to preach well. Hallelujah. And so people have a way of putting the blame of God on God, putting the responsibility on God, putting the blame of God. If God wants me, you know, like people said, if God wanted Adam not to eat the fruit, He would have stopped them. They put the responsibility of obedience on God. God gave them an instruction for God's sake and told them, do not do this. And we, you know, as we're growing up those days, learning the word of God, we began to say, no, God would have stopped them. But it's like God trying to play their part. If God goes there and stop, their part is to obey. His part is to give the instruction. He played His part. He gave them the instruction. Their part is to obey. And so somehow, today, you see, many of us blame God for being disobedient. And say, you know, if I had the anointing of God, I would not have fell down. If the grace of God was sufficient for me, I would not have, you know, many people. And so, most often, believers are not deliberate about obeying God. To be deliberate means you are intentional. You are intentional. One of the things I said to myself when I was going into school, I said to myself, I will not fall into immorality. And I trust the grace of God to help me. Number one, I was deliberate. Many of us hinge on grace, but you are not deliberate. You are not intentional about obeying God, but you hinge on, I said, I just believe the grace of God is sufficient for me. But about you, you and the grace of God has always been sufficient. It has always been there. The grace of God is what even brought you into Christ, for God's sake. But, you know, being deliberate about enjoying that grace, not abusing the grace, is another thing entirely. Enjoying the grace is, I know the grace of God is upon my life. I am deliberate to walk in the grace of God. I'm going to show you a scripture this morning. And I'm going to show you few examples of men, great men, gifted, privileged, learned, anointed men who walked in the path of disobedience and where they ended. They were privileged. Let me tell you something. Whatever you have today, wherever you are today, in whatever position you are operating in the family, in any organization, in the church, in the body of Christ, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. There are men who have been privileged, who have been gifted, who have been anointed, and yet they turned against the word of God and walked in another path. Because they thought they were what they were by who they are. And so they walked in the path of disobedience and they ended in a very bad way. Praise God. And so it's one thing to have the grace of God, in another thing to be intentional about walking in the grace. And what does it mean to walk in the grace of God? The grace that has been given to us is to be deliberate about obeying the word of God. What is it about obeying the word of God? Building your life on the teachings of Christ. Deliberately. Deliberately. On the subject of marriage, I'm not going to, as a single, how do you build your life? I will not defile the bed until I get married. Opportunities will come. Nobody will know if you do it, only God. And you know, even if you pray for forgiveness, He will forgive you. You know nobody is seeing you, yet you will not do it. You are deliberately building your life on His teachings. You already have His person, His grace. You already have the redemptive work. All that Christ provided, you have received it. But now there are teachings to obey. You can decide not to. You are not a robot that God will force to obey. That's why they were not robotic when God created them in the garden. They had choice to disobey God. They had choice to obey God. So obeying God or disobeying God is your choice. Let me tell your neighbor, say obeying God or disobeying God is your choice. In the equation, your choice is the variable. I hope you get that. That's my explanation. Your choice is the variable. In the equation, instruction given unto you, choice, obedience. The variable, it's you, not God. God is a constant factor in the equation. His grace is constant in the equation. The grace of God is constant. No matter what you do today, He loves you. He loves you before you even knew Him. While we are yet sinners, God commended His love towards us. And by the Holy Ghost shed His love in our heart. And so, in the equation, God is constant. The love of God is constant. The grace of God is constant. His instruction is constant. Your choice is the variable. Variable means what could change. Your choice to either obey and enjoy what has been provided by grace or disobey and abuse what has been provided. So, let's stop putting the responsibility of obedience on God and say, if God wants me to do it, He will make me do it. No. He has given you a choice. Say, I have a choice to obey or not to disobey. And interestingly, God does not tamper with human choice. It is the devil that wants to tamper with your choice, with your willpower. God does not. That's why He did not restrain Eve in the garden where she was. She made her choice. God saw all that happened, but will not restrain. If God restrained the will of man, God becomes a manipulator. And God will not do that. He created them to be independent of Him, if they want to. He created them. He gave them everything. And in His nature as God, He made them to choose Him or to reject Him. To be dependent on Him. If it were another being, He would say, for God's sake, I created them. I provided all that they needed. They must be subjected to me. God does not subdue people. He does not subject people. He does not enslave people. He gives people choice to choose him. That is where obedience even comes in. You know, the first thing that happened in the garden was the factor of obedience and disobedience. The first thing. And so he created us with choice. He created us with will. He created us with ability to be independent. You can actually say, I want to live my life independent of God. It's your will. That's why, oh glory to God. That's why to make a choice to obey God is the greatest thing that brings pleasure to God. Write it down. To make a choice in your heart to obey God, to obey Him, brings Him the greatest pleasure. I'm going to show you. Decision, put it this way, decision to obey God brings God the greatest pleasure. Decision to obey God brings God the greatest pleasure. Very soon, I pray, for those of you who are singles, you start having children. I want you to know something today. Many of you may not know, from different homes that you came from, your parents have choice among you. You wouldn't know. They don't show it. Yes. If a parent have 5 children, there's a 4 favorite. The parents, some show. Some will show it, some will not. It happened with Jacob and Joseph and his siblings. It's a factor of obedience. One of the things that brings pleasure to a parent is when a child is obedient. There was a time my siblings complained to my mother that she showed so much love to me or care to me than every other person in the house. Subconsciously, she showed it. She now said she could not restrain it because I always obey whatever she wants me to do. It's like that to every parent. In fact, some parents make it so loud that when they are praying, they will mention the name of that person while others are there and say, I want to cook. And class others as others. Lord Jesus, I pray for Kunle and others take care of them. She is close to his heart. I mean, he is close to her heart. Have you seen Job? Can you imagine God speaking like that? God called a devil, saw him moving. He said, have you noticed a man in the east called Job? So God took notice of Job and called the attention of the devil. Say, have you noticed him like I noticed him? Have you taken notice of that man? Decision to obey God. Do you want to bring pleasure to the heart of God? Choose to obey Him. Trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy. Jesus, trust and obey. How was the song we learned when we were in Sunday school those days? Choice, decision. You have the choice. You have the choice. That's why other religion forces their beliefs on people. Only Christianity does not. Christianity is acceptance. Offer an acceptance. Only Christianity does not threaten people with its beliefs. How did Islam came into Nigeria? By sword. The logo of the Islamic this Islamic country that came into Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, is 2 swords. Sword called is by sword. It's only in Christianity that a preacher will offer gospel. You slap him, spit on him, yet he still go away peacefully, still come back again, begging you. That's the nature of God. So you have choice to obey or disobey Him. And so stop this blame game of, you know, if the grace of God was sufficient for me, that was what, you know, Paul was trying to. He said, I besought him. God said, no, I've already made my grace sufficient for you. And strength is perfect in your weaknesses. And so the responsibility is on you, not on God. God can never sin. God can never make mistake. David said it, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest. David had no place to hide himself again. That thou mayest be justified. In any area in your life where you fall into disobedience and the consequence follow, God will be justified. Because he is the only constant equation. Constant factor in the equation. If you see anything happen to a brother or a sister by the reason of disobedience and the consequence follow thereafter, God, if you look at it carefully, God is justified. He would have sent people to him. We may not know. He would have, you know, when some things happen to believers, we're like, God, why this? How do we explain this to the enemies? God has the explanation. A man wrote a book, When God Does Not Make Sense. That's when you can't explain. God doesn't make sense. But if you look at it there very well, there's a sense that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest. So, you must be intentional. And say, this, I'm going to live my life like this. It does not come by accident. Obedience is not a product of accident. Like, it happened, I just obey God accidentally. No. You can't. It's deliberate. You obey. You know what you are obeying. And you, despite distractions left and right, you want to obey. Especially in our generation, there are too much distractions. You have so many explanations for disobedience. People explain disobedience even on the pulpit. Okay, a man of God come and say, you see, me and mama, we have disagreement, you know. He just disobeyed a scripture and came to explain it on the pulpit. Say, we had we just have this peaceful breakup. Explain it. And interestingly, they have scripture to explain disobedience. There's a way you can twist the scripture. One of the person I want to talk about is Saul. Saul said, he was explaining his disobedience. God gave an instruction through Samuel. He said, go clear the Amalekite. Not one of them. I don't want to see anything existing. Like, let everything be dead, deadly dead. And when he got there, said he listened to his servants and they said, let's take some of this wonderful, cattle and the king and make sacrifice. And God spoke to Samuel. He said, I've rejected that man. He said, go and tell him. And when he said, but why will you do this? The instruction was that clear everything. He said, Samuel said, I can hear the sound of flocks. He said, what are those things sounding? Rams. He said, I have brought them. He was explaining his disobedience. I have brought them to make a sacrifice unto God. Does that not sound good? At times, when we disobey God, we have a way of justifying our disobedience. But before God, it's not justifiable. That thou mayest be justified when thou speakest. Don't try to explain away the reason you should disobey God. Give every reason why you should obey him. Praise God. Praise God. Are you learning something at all? Now, another person I would like to touch is Jonah. How many of you remember Jonah? Jonah, God called him and gave him an instruction. He gave him an instruction to go and deliver a message to a city called Nineveh. Is it Nineveh now? And he went in another direction completely. He was supposed to take board a ship going to that town. He went another direction. Can I talk to you today? Anytime you go in the direction of disobedience, there's a storm to restrain you. Now, Where he was supposed to be was not where he was. On the path to Nineveh, there was no storm. And the Bible says he went opposite direction of the place, God. Now there are some of us who have by location disobeyed God. By where you are now, you are in disobedience. The job you are doing now could be a job of, it's earning you salary, you are getting good money, but where presently now, that job that you are doing, that relationship, that marriage, that career is in disobedience. And I can imagine some people, you can imagine somebody praying the grace of God upon disobedience, upon a job that it's in disobedience, and say, Late sikrate brananaje. You are in disobedience over a relationship. I say, God, make this work. God can't make it work. You are in the wrong direction. God said, that's the brother you marry. You say, God, he's not rich. You got a guy who have a car, but you want the blessing of God on that disobedience. It's not possible. Praise God. Do you know how much God loved Adam and Eve? It's just like you just have a newborn baby. That's how Adam and Eve was. But, you know, God could not bless their disobedience in the garden. They had to go out. He could not, he had to an extent show some level of love by covering them. But they just had to go. Many of us are suffering now. It's not the devil. It's not enemy. It's because you walk in disobedience. Jonah went in the wrong direction. And I want to show you a scripture. He went in the wrong direction of the assignment of God upon his life and the location. I don't know what assignment God has given to you that you have been somehow explaining it away in disobedience. You are heading for a catastrophe. It's not God that is bringing the catastrophe. Anytime you go in the wrong direction of where God wants you to be, there's a devil waiting for you there. Yes. There's a devil waiting for you. How I would have loved to have this church a movement church. You know how beautiful I would look having the corda and opa, and I throw it around when preaching. Just fling it like this. You know, do the normal this thing. But that will be in disobedience. It's a church. It look nice. You know, there's nothing wrong doing all of that. But that would be the instruction is. Listen to me. This church does not come from my imagination. It didn't come because I have a desire to stand. Listen, I was fully engaged preaching before God called me into church. So it was not the desire to preach that brought this church. I was already an engaged itinerary minister. And so when he gave me the revelation of the name of the church, and I told, my desire was like, you know, I was going to put it under Surulere, one of these prosperous CNS churches. And he said, go on your own part. I said, why? He said, because of the future. Yeah. By now, we would have been doing a nice movement church. By now, I would have ordained like maybe CM prophets, few of you. Because it's easy to ordain prophets. Hallelujah. What a good thing to walk in obedience. It's so sweet. One of the things walking in obedience God gives to you, it gives you assurance. I think I said that last week. You have this peace and assurance. That I know I am on the path. Even when challenges come, you know you are on the path. Some of you are laughing when I mention CM. Don't you know? I want to go palo ripon konkori. Yes. Pe on konkori opa, pe on konkori opa woli oni. Opa irapada. Let me not go into that. Praise God. I want to show you a scripture. Jonah, give me Jonah chapter 1. Let me read from verse 14. Jonah 1:14. Then they prayed to God, "Oh God, don't let us drown because of this man's life." One man's disobedience. You can crash an entire organization because of you. Prophet Allah was telling me how God told him to go into full-time ministry, and he actually read accounting, and he went to work for one company. As soon as they accepted him, the company started going down. I don't know how the head of the company, where he went to pray, he said he just came one day and called him and said, "Oga, take money, please leave my company." You know, when we pray, we'll be like, "Oluwamojaba enyobi Jonah woko kwako." I remember those days they used to pray that kind of prayer. Somebody who is in disobedience, that you not be in the same convoy with him. He said, and they pray to God, "Oh God, don't let us drown because of this man's life. Don't blame us for his death. You are God. Do what you think is best. God, give me verse 15. They took Jonah and threw him. They already knew he is the problem. They threw him overboard immediately. Hey! So, let me tell you this. This will shock you. Anytime you walk in disobedience, even nature fights you. Even the nature goes against you. Because you are not where you should be. The atmosphere rises against you. He says, they took Jonah and threw him overboard. Immediately, the sea was quieted down. Like everything stood against Jonah, including the sea. Go on, sir. The sailors were impressed, no longer terrified by the sea. I want to pray for you. Anyone around you living in disobedience, God is separating you from them. Because they may be your present trouble. May you not be under a pastor living in disobedience. You know what this means? To be under a minister who lives in disobedience, he will lead you in the same direction. May you not be under a husband who lives in disobedience. Because you like it or not, you will suffer it. That's why they will say, "Ti eleshe banjiya." I think it's somewhere in Proverbs or Ezekiel. Now, by association, the righteous suffer from the disobedience of the sinner. By association. That's why you should be careful of association. Be careful of association. Be careful of association. They were associated to him because they were in the same convoy. He said, the sailors were impressed, no longer terrified by the sea. Why? A man of disobedience left the ship. But in our way of God, they respected God and they worshiped God, offered a sacrifice and made vows. Now look at God's mercy, even in disobedience. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceased. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Always new every morning. Every morning. Great, great, great. What a great look at display of mercy. Then God, listen, do you know what it means? If you throw it, no matter if you are the best swimmer in the world, after 1 hour you will die. Less than 1 hour. Because what will kill you is not even the water itself. This on every sea there's a storm. There's a wave. The wave can remove somebody's head. That's why when tornado hits, when the flood hits a city, you see skyscraper of about 23-story building we just sink. The wave coming with the flood. There's a wave that is coming. That wave is enough to kill Jonah in 5 minutes. Apart from drowning and being choked with water. Look at what God, the Bible says. Then God assigned a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Which fish do you think that could be? What of it was? Don't you see God can assign a shark and command the shark not to eat him? The way he assigned the raven bird to feed Elijah, the raven that does not feed his own children. But you know, the Bible did not give us what type of fish it was. It does not matter again. Then God assigned. Now, God can use anything to bring you back on track. At times, it is God dealing with your situation you think is the enemy. Trying to return you back. He said, then God assigned a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the fish belly for 3 days and 3 nights. This is a big revelation. Disobedience made a man stayed in the belly of fish 3 days and 3 nights. Obedience made Christ stayed in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. That was what the Bible said. The same way Jonah was in the belly of the fish. For the Son of Man shall be in the belly of the heart for 3 days. So, in typology, in disobedience, man stayed 3 days, 3 nights. In obedience, Messiah stayed 3 days. So, that's why there's an exchange and substitute. By his disobedience. Holy Spirit, thank you. Tell anybody the Bible is sweet. No, there's a way when you are teaching, the Holy Spirit gives you a scripture to buttress what you are saying. When you are running out of reference, you just flash a scripture in my spirit. Let me show it to you. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's look at it from verse 15. Romans 5 from verse 15. Give me King James Version. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man, that word offense means disobedience. That's Adam. That place speak of Adam. The disobedience. Say, if by the disobedience of one man, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. So how did grace come? John, just leave this scripture. John 1 and verse 17. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by. So, how did Jesus purchase or bring to us grace and truth? Say obedience. The Bible says he was obedient to the death of the cross. He was obedient to the death of the cross. He said, that was why he said, no one took my life. I laid it down. It was my obedience. It was not Pilate that took it. That was why when Pilate said to him, when he was interrogating him, he said, do you know I have the power to crucify you? He said, no. He said, no one has any power. He said, you have been given the privilege. He said, I have the power to lay down my life. Meaning, it is by obedience. He obeyed the death of the cross. Obedience. And so, obedience, grace came by obedience. So how will you enjoy it by disobedience? How will you explain that it is grace that is keeping you? What was given by obedience of a man, you are now explaining that it is that same grace that is the reason you are in disobedience. Much more the grace of God and the grace and the gift by grace, which by one man. He said, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. Give me verse 16. Let's see. And not as it were by one that sinned. So is the gift. For the judgment way by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Let's go. Verse 17. Verse 17, please. For if by one man's, that place where you see offense, put disobedience. If by one man's disobedience, death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. That's one man's obedience, Jesus Christ. Give me verse 18. Therefore, as by the disobedience of one, judgment came upon all men. How comes today we are all under all kind of issues before we met Christ? Adam's disobedience. That's what this scripture is explaining. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the gift, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19. For by one man's Holy Spirit, this way I want. One to go. Let us all read. One to go. Many were made sinners. This is the heart of the scripture. By the obedience. And so how can a man enjoy this and say this is the reason he is living in disobedience? And say, you know, Christ has done it all. I don't need to obey. He has obeyed. He obeyed his own course to the cross. You have your own course to obey. The way the entire earth is dependent on his obedience, there's a family dependent on your obedience. There's a people dependent on your obedience. I said it, I think last week or last week. I said, so many of us suffered what we suffered because of the disobedience of our parents. They did some things. They worked in some way they shouldn't work. Some of us almost dropped out of school, if not the grace of God. Look at all the children under the bridge in Mokola, in the world. A parent's disobedience. You see them begging for food in the morning. 5 years, 4 years old. I love this scripture. Give me in another version. Just give me in an either amplified or the message. But the law came, this verse 19. For just by one man's disobedience, look at the amplified. Failing to hear, heedlessness, carelessness. They told him he won't listen. That was what I was trying to explain last week on the book of James chapter 1. He said, is there a man who is a hearer of the word, but not a doer, who fails to do what he hears? Failing to hear, heedlessness and carelessness. The many were constituted sinner. So by one man's obedience, the many will be constituted righteous, made accepted to God. Brought. When God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, he's talking about the pleasure he gets from obedience. See, praise worship, clapping in church is not what gives God joy. Jump with one leg like this and say, Oluwa ori mi wo mi, mo se nfe. Obey the word. Some people will carry chair in disobedience, jump, sing it, clap in disobedience. I remember those days when we were growing up, when we used to have all this kind of LME vigil. The person that will sing for us is still romancing one lady with Cesarobia. What's the name of this thing they used to drink? Miss Paris. And as soon as he comes in, hold the mic. You hear Nisalibiruaji. In disobedience. wọ́n ní kárí ọmọ yìí. And people explain it away. Say God saw him before calling him. Leave him. God saw he will disobey him. Can you imagine? Somebody explaining to us that God saw that I will disobey him when he called me. So leave me and God. That's the height of irresponsibility. The abuse of privilege. The abuse of grace. There are many thousands of people praying that God will call them. One of the greatest things that happened to me is not that I went to school, it's not that I became anything, is that he called me. The greatest, I will celebrate that all my life, that I was called. That people who could speak better in English. When I started preaching, my English wasn't good. It was not my articulation that made God call me. I could not even face people well. I was nobody when he called me. Please give me that scripture. Run away from anyone you notice is walking from disobedience. It will soon bring trouble to you if you don't run away. That's why God is not always happy with us when we have friends living in disobedience and we pamper it. Say, it's my friend. He will change. And you are a brother in the Lord. A friend brings a woman who is not his wife to the same room you are sleeping. You can't fight that action. I say, you know, go leisure. You sit on the same table with them. Their drink is Martina Libi Mamu. And you are comfortable with that. Told you about Pafiri, you want to ask. Praise God. Please let me have that scripture. I'm still with it. It's not coming up. Okay? Let me stay with my note. So it's dangerous to walk in disobedience. I said the greatest expression of faith. The greatest, if you say you have faith, if you say I am a believer, the greatest release and expression of faith is living in obedience to the word of God. That is faith. Faith is not some kind of confession. Faith is an action. That was why James chapter 2 said, how dare you say you have faith without works? We saw in James chapter 1 when he said, the work, blessed is that man that doeth the work, for he shall be blessed. The work there is obedience to the word. Now, he further explained in James chapter 2, the work he was explaining is not charity work. The work he was saying, when you have faith and you say your faith is without work, the work there is explaining obedience to the word. That's the work. That's the only work we have in Christianity. All these activities, I'm a bishop, that's not the work. The work in Christianity is obedience. The work, that's the work. Show me your faith, I will show you my obedience. So you will be living in oxymoron, living in contrast, to say, I have faith, but I live in disobedience. Like, you are a confused person and say, I'm a believer, I profess faith, but I live my life in disobedience. So what are you professing? Now, this kind of message, people don't like to hear it. But that's the Bible. It's not my message. I'm sorry. It's not my message. It's the world. Genesis 15. Let me show you. I would have mentioned a few more people who live in disobedience, but time will not permit us. We have Samson. What a privilege. What an anointing. What a grace. One single man. Go and watch the movie. You will see what it means for a man to bring down an entire battalion. One man. He had no sword. Was not trained to use sword. Was not trained to use spear. He just found the jaw of a donkey. He slew over 1,000 men. The day I watched, you know, at times when we read this thing and we don't watch the way they describe these things in movies, you understand. He stood like this. And with the hand, people were coming with sword arrows and spear. And he was bring just one strike like this. 10 people will go down. And the way they describe Samson to us, we used to see Samson like one man filled with kind of muscle. I want to imagine that Samson is like this brother Samson. Can you imagine they said, brother Samson, the way he is now? That in Ojo Barak here, they send 1,000 soldiers to come and stop us from worshipping here. And he clear all of them. You can explain that this is not Moses. It's God. The Lord warned, in his own case, there was instruction before his birth. That number one, he will not take anything that can defile him. Anything that can I don't know if any of you here have had your parents talk to you about what God told them about you. Things, listen, there are things you can't do. If God has separated you for, it still happened up to now. God gives instruction to parents not to touch the hair of their children. God gives them, say, it's Old Testament. It's not. It still exists. The only problem people have in our generation is that they idolize it. They will not be worshipping the child. That's the problem we have today. God spoke to his parent before his birth. God, his parent told him that do not marry among these foolish things. God told us your wife is not among them. But he was too anointed, too handsome, too strong. Women are attracted naturally, or opposite sexes. Let me not say women. Opposite sexes are attracted to anybody who is gifted. It is you that should find out where God wants you to be, what God wants you to do. God specifically told me more than 5 times, you cannot choose a woman for yourself. There are brothers who had that privilege to choose for themselves. I did not have that. If I had gone ahead and said, God, my own best friend that I did best friend for, is it best man that I be best man for? Just got married. Ojo Lolua. And I look at one sister that can speak in tongue. Today, that tongue will be bringing fire in my house. Obedience. He went ahead and married Delilah. They told him, his parents told him. No, his parents pampered him even when he was doing that. He was not supposed to eat unclean things. He took honey from a dead animal and ate it. That was where his disconsecration started. A man who pieces a lion. The Bible says he pieces a lion like a calf. A calf is small, a small goat. He pieces it like you tear a handkerchief. He went ahead, slept with Delilah. Did not only go into relationship with her, he slept with her. A man who will pull the toll gate of an entire city. He can't, you removing a toll gate. You know the kind of toll gate they used to have in those ancient cities? The toll gate will be taller than the entire city. That is the kind of gate. How many of you have seen some of those castles before where an entire city lives inside of a round wall? You know how their gate used to be? Samson removed that kind of gate and took it away. In disobedience, he slept with Delilah. In disobedience, the anointing was cut off his life. In disobedience. The Bible says, when the enemy came upon him, see, anytime the enemy prevail over a believer, there's a factor, disobedience. Anytime, any area of your life where the enemy prevailed, something happened, you could not come out a winner. Check your life very well. God will be justified when he speaks. That thou mayest be justified. That's why I used to warn married people. Don't go do extramarital affair, please. You will bring trouble you cannot stop. Because when the enemy pounce upon one of your child or your wife, Nabi se Oluwa ta ni mo se iwo lo iwo gangan lo se ra e. And they cut off all of that grace upon his life. He wanted to lift his hand like before. The thing was not there again. Listen, that thing that is making you relevant, may you not lost it. Amen. The greatest thing that can happen to a man is not for the most tragic thing that can happen to a man is not death. It's to die while he's still alive. It's not death. That's why Yoruba people say, Ikuya ju esin lo. Is to die while he's still he's alive, but he has lost relevance. He's shouting, nobody is hearing him. He will put poster everywhere. Go on Facebook, nobody is there. Nobody can see it. Disobedience. And the Bible said, can you imagine? The first thing they did is to remove his vision. When you walk in disobedience, after some times you lost the focus of where you are going. You lost vision. After some times, you start participating in what you should. You imagine a pastor going to club. After some times, you lose focus. You say, let's just have some kind of, you know, let's divert, let's digress, let's have some kind of fun. Disobedience. Gradually, before you know it, you are completely out of track. There are churches that have started in disobedience. There are many churches today. People are worshiping. They have crowds. But the church started on the foundation of rebellion and disobedience. And everywhere. We were in MIV lately. Reverend Samson was sharing with us about a man who left his church out of anger. And people followed him. When they followed him, they started their own ministry. The ministry flourished. They had bosses, branches abroad, home and abroad. But in disobedience. And somehow he came in encounter with Reverend Samson Ajitomobi. And he said he instructed him that he should go back to his GO. He found it difficult. Somebody who have started church over thousands of people worshiping. He had pastors under him. They had school. So even in disobedience, all of that can happen. Now that somebody is prospering does not mean he's doing it in obedience. Yeah. Don't take prosperity, material prosperity, for approval of God's hand upon the life of a man. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Give me verse 20. Okay, let's leave it here. Give me Genesis 15, verse 1. Let me close with this. Genesis 15, verse 1. Did you learn something this morning? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, your abundant compensation. Listen, when you obey God, God does not reward you with things. He rewards you with himself. I am your reward. He said, I am your shield, your abundant compensation. I am your reward shall be, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. He said in Genesis 22 verse 5, he said, because you have obeyed me, because you obeyed my voice, he said, all your children and all your seed shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice. I want to urge you, see, there's so much blessing in obeying the word of God. Please. We started by saying it's a choice. Make the choice. Make the decision to obey the voice of God. The reward cannot be overemphasized. Bow down your head and pray to God. And say, God, help me. In any area of my life where I have been walking in disobedience, God, bring me back to track. Bring me back on track. Help me, O Lord. In any aspect, area of my life where I have been walking in disobedience, help me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to walk in your way, in your path. Show me where I should make adjustments. Show me where I should make correction. Even in my journey. Thank you, sweet Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.